Before the pandemic, the summer months were the time when Hollywood scheduled most of its biggest blockbusters featuring popular actors, sequels, and superhero movies. But as many of us were spending time at home and catching films on streaming services, the lure of the movie theater was less dramatic. The last couple of months, though, may indicate that the summer blockbusters are returning, as movies like Top Gun Maverick and Thor Love and Thunder have been booming at the box office. Could this be a part of a renaissance for going to the movies, or simply a momentary blip? Our co-host Steve Goldstein spoke with Cheryl Boone Isaacs, founding director of ASU Sydney Poitiers New American Film School, to get her perspectives.
We're seeing incredible activity now in this summer of tentpoles. There's over 10 movies so far, and it's just the end of July, that have earned over $100 million here in the United States alone, which tells us that the public is eager to return to one of its favorite pastimes. Is it everyone? That's hard to say when you have a movie like Top Gun that is over a billion. Well, it's $600 million so far. I think there is probably a bit of a hesitation for some frequent filmgoers, but I do think that the experience is in a terrific place. It's pretty robust, and I believe it will continue. But the one thing is that's always been true, and that is if you give the public what they want, they will come.
What was it like for you personally to return to an actual theater to watch a movie?
Well, I have to say it was last year. I just had it. I hadn't been to a movie theater for, you know, like a year and a half or something. And I thought, oh, I can't stand this. So I called up a girlfriend of mine who lives close, and we have worked together for eons. And I said, I really need to go out, and I really want to experience film in the only way we can in the theater. So we went to see Godzilla versus Kong.
Wow, really?
Yeah, because that experience is not going to be the same. It's just not going to be the same with all the bells and whistles. I mean, the seat shook, and it was loud and in our face, and we could not stop laughing. It was fabulous.
Is it so ridiculously expensive when it comes to marketing, PR, the actual making of the film, that the ones that we're going to see in the theater are more and more going to be these ones that are blockbusters because the studios say we have to make a return on our investment?
My feeling is that the big blockbusters with all the bells and whistles that I referenced before, they are expensive. But they also have attributes of sound, in particular sound, as well as effects and a bigness to their story that best serves itself on the big screen. And I think that is more of the driving cost and of course the interest, but of course it costs money to have the big extravaganzas, as I call them. But so it's kind of together. It isn't, I think that studios make them just because it's a possibility of making more money. I think it's about what people want, and it's been proven that they wish to experience this big spectacle concept. And the best way that you're going to get it in its very, very best form is theatrically on a 35 millimeter or larger screen.
Are you concerned at all that more and more people are, because of how much time people have spent at home watching movies, that mm-hmm. they are going to say to themselves, you know, most of these movies I can just watch at home when mm-hmm. the filmmakers mm-hmm. are making them to be seen on the big screen?
That is true. And that has actually been true. But it's more evident now because of the choices. I love the idea of streaming because I feel it has given more opportunity for different voices, for different sizes of movies, you know, their scale, and therefore more opportunity for filmmakers to have their stories seen by more people. And coupled with the expense of marketing and distribution, I think it's we're at a terrific space Yes, it's cut into theatrical in the way that, you know, 40, 50 years ago, it is different, but 40 and 50 years ago, you didn't have that kind of competition. But what it also says is how much people enjoy storytelling and visual, all storytelling truly, but we're talking about visual. And if an intimate story, a smaller, more personal, intimate story or documentaries can be seen by a large number of people, then streaming is where those films are going to end up. And the public is used to seeing good quality films that are smaller, more intimate, less big budget, documentaries, shorts. And now there's avenues in order for the public to enjoy them.
So let me ask you about the work you're doing with Arizona State.
Yes.
We have different generations of people coming up who want to be involved in the film industry in some way. Are we going to see more opportunities, whether because of technology, an increased commitment to diversity? Are there going to be more interesting, unique opportunities for people of this generation that perhaps there weren't for earlier generations?
Absolutely. And we recognize that at the Poitier Film School. my idea, the idea of the school, is we want to take the journey that a story takes from its inception straight through to its intended audiences. Therefore, it is not limited to stories and films that are only for theatrical or only for streaming, or whether it's a short film that would play in a museum or at an amusement park, and certainly involved in nonprofits. We want to teach the basic ideas and fundamentals of storytelling and the practice and what it means and what it takes to put together a film.
We talked a bit about Top Gun Maverick already, and I understand you worked on the original Top Gun. So can I ask you what it was like? Here's this sequel all these decades later that, again, is a success. Can you put that in perspective for me, what it was like to be there in the 80s and then see the current sequel these days?
Well, I tell you, the one thing that struck me is in both cases, first time seeing the movie, the opening scene with the music, it hit me the first time. I remember the press screening we had on the first Top Gun, and where it starts, you know, on the deck of the ship, that ching, 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 and it just was the best. The audience just fell into it immediately. So to see Maverick and have it start, not exactly, but similarly, I burst into tears. I have to tell you, it was just the way movies are supposed to be.
Cheryl Boone-Isaacs is the founding director of ASU's Sidney Poitier New American Film School.